Hey there, and thanks for downloading our interview with Grant Imahara. My name's Murphy. I'm one of the hosts of Spankwagon Radio. This edited version of our show is done exclusively for MythbustersFanClub.com. You can always go there for everything you need for Mythbusters entertainment, and you can always come to Spankwagon.net to listen to our radio show, download our podcast, and interact with our fans. So without further ado, here's Grant.
Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with the greatest internet radio show ever. This is Spankwagon Radio, and I'm tittering like a very excited schoolgirl at this moment.
Yes, you are.
Let's see if it's working.
Grant, are you there?
Grant? I'm here.
Oh, he's here.
There he is.
Oh, my
God. In the house.
This is awesome.
Good
ladies
evening,
and gentlemen.
Sir. Good evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, before you, we have the master of all that is geek, Grant Imahara.
Oh, Grant,
thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and thank you for showing up letting us get a hold of you and joining our show. Let me give a little background for the maybe one person in our chat room or one listener on the podcast who has no clue who you are.
They've been living under a rock the last 3 years.
It's going to be a big rock. But Grant Imahara is part of the, I guess, are you the second build team?
That's right. Yes.
Okay.
After Scotty departed, Scotty was part of the first generation of the team.
All right. So after Scotty departed, you are part of the MythBusters build team. You were also one of the handful of people who are responsible for the R2-D2 fleet for Star Wars. You've written
that's true.
Oh, so cool. You've written a book, Kickin' Butt, an illustrated guide to building combat robots.
And he's actually calling right now from a robot competition.
Oh, nice.
Which is awesome. Is Deadblow running?
No. Deadblow is actually currently the status of Deadblow is he's taken apart. We used part of the drive system for one of our myths. I tend to take the robot and dissect it for our various needs on the show.
Ah.
This robot competition is actually a high school robotics competition. So I mentor a high school team.
Oh,
so
very
they're,
cool.
They're getting ready to compete tomorrow. So weighing in tonight, checks and things like that.
Okay.
Now, I have to ask, because, again, I'm the big nerd here. The robot, the Deadblow got taken apart. Was it for the samurai robot, the sword-chopping robot?
Yeah, part of the air system was used for the sword-chopping robot. Yes, by the way, one of the most deadly things I've ever built, I think, that sword chopper. And, you know, merely accidental that it was at neck height, but still, you know, very terrifyingly fast and powerful.
Well, especially version 2 that we saw last week cutting and slicing into the machine gun barrel. Not getting too far in, but at least leaving a really nice gouge.
Yeah, enough to take a head clean off, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Easily. Yeah, holy crap, run.
Now, Grant, I have to show a little background to the guys here. You and I have been talking in emails a little bit back and forth. You mentioned not too long ago you were hand-feeding gators, and I got to ask you, how big were these things?
In the order of 12 to 15 feet.
Oh.
Yeah, that does qualify under the crikey size. Oh, my God.
Yeah, absolutely.
You said gators, not
stuff. However, I have to say that these were trained alligators. They work with people on a daily basis. Of course, the show would never put me in harm's way, knowingly. So,
No, you know what? I have to call...
Yeah, you're not Tory.
I have to call shenanigans on that. Because last week's episode, you were getting shot at with a pellet gun. And then they put... And what was it? A couple months ago, you were in the truck that had absolutely nothing for brakes.
Yeah. Well, you know, at the time, it really seemed like a good and logical idea. It wasn't until later on that we discovered, you know what, we actually, by cutting the axle out, the drive shaft, we essentially got rid of the entire emergency brake system. So, yeah, I was just riding with nothing to stop that snowplow.
A wing and a prayer.
An extremely heavy and dangerous item.
You know, on last week's, you had probably what, in my eyes, is going to be the line of the year. Tori's going to get shot in the nut. Right there. Dude, I was rolling. I had to pause the DVR. And the tears were rolling. I'm surprised Discovery let that one up on the air.
Yeah, every once in a while we'll get a good one through.
Good, awesome. All right, so let me just say this real quick. I'd open up phone lines. If anybody out there has a quick question for Mr. Imahara, it's 1-866-587-6257. Give us a call, toll-free here in North America. Plus, we have some other questions that have come in through our email at radio@spankwagon.net.
Actually, I have one question for you. This is Decaf. What was the first robot you ever built, and how old were you?
What was the first robot I ever built? Let me think here. You know, interestingly enough, it wasn't until after college that I really learned how to build things out of metal. So most of the things that I built when I was younger, I built with Lego. You know, I think not unlike a lot of engineers, I started with the Lego. Yeah, it's a beautiful, elegant system. It's modular. There are rules. Of course, you can get around some of the rules of that system. So really, you know, it's great training for building things. So all of the, you know, until I got to college and was able to actually, you know, program microcontrollers and get into the more fabrication side, everything I built was out of Lego. And cool. The robots up to that point were kind of, you know, I would move them around with my hand, essentially.
Now, awesome. I mean, since you are obviously... since you are obviously a Lego nerd, have you picked up any of the new Mindstorm kits?
You know what? It's since I learned how to build things out of metal, it's been very hard for me to pick up Lego again.
Unfortunately for Murphy, he still plays with his. Unfortunately for Murphy, he still...
Go ahead. Okay. I have played with another system called Vex, which is more like a, you know, bolt together erector set kind of thing, but on steroids, and it has radio control and motors and things like that. So.
Oh my God,
very
cool. Yeah, I wish I had something like that when I was much younger.
Well, you know, we always make best with what we have when we were kids, because you know, building forts or building stuff out of Legos or even its predecessor with
what, Lincoln Logs?
No.
Popsicle
yes,
sticks.
Yes, I had to cut my own trees down and build the stuff.
Popsicle sticks, baby.
There you go.
Popsicle sticks.
But you know, erector sets and things like that. I got one quick question. Actually, going back to the bots,
yeah.
Now, I know that Jamie has built a bot. He's built a battle bot or some equivalent, and he's competed in the past. Have you two ever squared your robots off?
No. Thank goodness. You know, Jamie's bot was called Blendo,
mm-hmm.
and it is basically an upside-down wok, a huge one, like 24 inches in diameter.
Okay.
Which
it was a spinner.
Steel blades, yeah, a spinner, and it would spin around really, really fast, building up all this rotational inertia. And at one point, it was the most feared robot in all of robot combat.
Wow.
In fact, it was so feared that by both competitors and the event organizers, that the organizers asked him to politely take his robot home. Here's the trophy. You take the trophy, you win.
Please. Oh, jeez.
All right, we have a caller
please
on our line.
Take the robot.
Hello, caller.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, who is this?
September.
Hey, September. You got a question for Grant?
I do. Hey, Grant, how are you doing?
Grant, can you hear that?
Nope, I don't have playback on that.
Oh, try again. September, you there?
September, you there?
I'm still here.
I guess we don't have it.
Yep.
All right.
I can only hear you guys.
Okay,
you know
September,
what?
Go ahead, ask us,
and
we will relay.
Okay. Well, first of all, I wanted to wish him a happy birthday because he had a birthday on the 24th.
Oh, someone's wishing you a happy birthday, Grant.
Yep. Go ahead.
And I wanted to know, I think he plays in a band called the Ginger Tops with Jamie, and I wanted to know if they had any plans to do any kind of live
show. Oh, sorry, Grant.
Hold on, Grant.
So, Grant, we're wondering, the question is, did you play in a, it's rumored that you once played in a band with Jamie called the Ginger Tops?
Actually, the rumor is that I play guitar in Adam's band, Ginger Tops.
Adam's band. Yeah, I can't see Jamie.
That's an unfortunate Internet Movie Database joke perpetrated probably by someone at Industrial Light and Magic.
Okay. Thanks for the call, September. It looks like we're not. The phone patch idea didn't work out.
Didn't work all the way. But hey, we've still got Grant
here. Can't hack everything
here.
Together.
Now, Grant, I got to ask you a question. And it seems to me like you, Jamie, and Carrie, or excuse me, you, Tori, and Carrie, are doing all the heavy lifting. When are we going to see a build-off between you guys and Adam and Jamie so we can see them thoroughly get trounced and you guys just run the show as it should be?
You know, it's probably not going to happen anytime soon. And the reason is that, really, if you watch the show carefully, Jamie and Adam function as one team, and then Tori, Carrie, and I function as another independent team. And so rarely do our myths cross over each other where we'd be in a situation where we'd be building against each other. Sometimes for much larger myths, like Confederate Rocket, for example, we'll try and integrate both teams all together. And that's actually a lot of fun because, you know, I've known Jamie and Adam for 9 years now. So, you know, it's fun to be able to work with them again every day. But, you know, probably not going to see any build-offs between us and Jamie and Adam anytime soon.
Oh, that's a damn shame. Oh, I would love to see that in action.
I think it would be very entertaining. Another question that's come in, there's a couple questions. One's pretty funny here, but the first one is, what special effect are you most proud of working on?
Matrix.
I think that probably at Industrial Light and Magic, one of my favorite things that I've worked on is a docking structure for the movie Galaxy Quest. And it's a Star Trek spoof, and they've got essentially a star dock in which they're preparing this spaceship called the Protector. And the space dock was such an elegant design. It's like a sort of a French vintage train station, but in space, with all this wonderful lighting around the perimeter. And, you know, I look at that and also look at how entertaining the movie is, and I just think, wow, that was something I was really proud of.
Yeah, the weird boar exploding scene always flashes back in my head whenever I think about it, and just that the voices, it exploded. It just kills me. It looks like we've got another question coming in from the chat room here. One of our listeners does say does wish you a happy birthday and says you'll always be in my heart. And
that's a bad pun.
My heart.
In my heart.
Our listeners are rather unique.
Oh yeah, they're a little cheesy.
The nerds.
Yes, they are.
Just celebrated 36. Although it doesn't look like it on screen, you know.
36? Holy cow. You know, it's funny. Your birthday's the day before mine, then. Mine was the 25th. I just turned 30. Eek.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you much, sir. Now I'm going to record that and play it on my answering machine.
There you go. All right, question in from the chat room here. This is coming in from BNM, who's overseas listening in. He wonders, what's the most technically challenging project that you have ever worked on?
Wow. That would be, let's see, probably on Galaxy Quest again. And the main hero spaceship is called the Protector, and it's sort of in that spoof universe, that's the Enterprise, their main starship. And part of the Protector, they have these engines, and inside of the engine is supposed to be, you know, like a warp nacelle with kind of sparkly, and of course I know all of your listeners are knowing exactly what this terminology means.
Yeah.
But there's kind of a sparkly thing happening, you know, as if there's some sort of reaction going on. Well, in order to do that practically, all of the spaceships that we used to do at ILM were shot motion control. So there's a camera that photographs the model as it moves very, very slowly, one frame at a time, and the combination of tilting and pitching the spaceship along with moving the camera makes it look like the model is moving through space when you put in the appropriate background. But what that means is if you want something to kind of swirl in real time, you have to synchronize. Not only you have to figure out how to make it randomize your lights so so that they look like a swirl, but also synchronize those to the camera. And so that, I had to program each of those warp nacelles, of which there are two. Both of them had two microcontrollers each, in which I had to program the sequence of white LEDs. There were 50 LEDs on each side. So, you know, the combination of all that plus interfacing it to the control computer was really probably one of the most challenging things I've ever done at ILM.
Wow, that's, man, you know, I've seen some videos of, you know, the original, the opening sequence in the, you know, the first Star Wars movie, Episode 4, and yeah, I cannot imagine having to time all that together. That's some crazy stuff. Now, Grant, I got to ask you a question, and, oh, I'm sorry, Decaf, I
Decaf
apologize, I stepped all of you. Go ahead, Decaf.
Has there been anything that you started on or worked on that has just been so difficult that you just gave up, or something you really wanted to do that you never got to do?
Okay, I could barely hear that. Can you repeat it for me?
Has there been anything that's been like too difficult, or something that you gave up on, or something that you really want to do that you've never done before?
I still didn't catch it, Chris. Can you phrase for me?
He was just wondering if there's anything that you wanted to do that either has been too challenging or that you just haven't had time to get to yet. What is it?
Oh, there's a whole list of those, let me tell you.
I think everybody has that kind of
list.
Where
do I start? Giant robots fighting in the desert with full armament.
Oh, robot jocks.
Exactly. That is the future of robot combat. 10 years from now, that's what I want to be doing.
Sounds like you need to hook up with Charles Band.
If anybody's got any leads, you know, call in. Let me know.
Well, we've talked to the guy who produced Robot Jock, so maybe we'll drop your name in with him, and there you go. You'll get what you need. One other question here. Looks like this is coming from the chat room. What is the biggest surprise you've ever, what's the biggest surprise you've ever gotten on MythBusters? Something that you said, you know, no way could this do X, and then there it does the impossible, or what was seemingly impossible.
Oh yeah, there's a couple, and actually those are really, I think for me, the biggest payoff is when you're convinced that something's not going to work, and it does. But of course, you know, as people who are doing science, we have to keep an open mind usually. But you know, it's hard when someone says, "Okay, here's the story. You're going to dig a hole 15 feet deep and 3 feet wide and put a homemade drum at the bottom. If you stand at the top,
you'll hear something.
You will be able to hear the sounds of an army tunneling underground nearby." And I say to you, right. But, you know, so we go through this whole full-scale experiment. We set up the whole thing, and Carrie and Adam are at the top of the hole. They're listening. Jamie and Tori are down in the mine, and they're, you know, hammering away with pickaxes. I've got a bunch of microphones set up, so I can hear the sounds of them using their pickaxes on the rock, and I can see Carrie, who's at the top of the hole, and I can see her finger. And sure enough, her finger is perfectly synchronized with the sounds that are coming from the mine. That just blows me away.
That's some craziness.
It's like, you know, we're at an abandoned gold mine. There's 20, 30 feet of solid rock. No way. But this drum is going to transmit the sound.
You know, and old technologies working so well like that, you know. It kind of wonders what's going to happen.
That's right.
Makes you wonder what's going to happen 50, 100 years down the road with our technologies.
Now, Grant, I know we got to let you run here, but I wanted to ask you one last question. This is something I promised all my friends I would ask you.
If you ask them a lame question,
I'm it's more than a lame question. The Super Movie episode you guys did, the huge one where you guys were testing the security systems, the portion of it where they increased the heat in the room and then you had to go down into the shaft into the room. who does your laundry? Because who does your laundry? Because the boxers you had on that day, I got to tell you, bro, and I only noticed this because I'm weird like that. There was a interesting, weird smudge, and you had a hole in them.
Oh, come on.
There is a hole.
Here now, for you guys, the only time that I have ever actually publicly discussed this particular thing. So, of course, they don't tell you the day before, hey, you're going to get naked tomorrow, so wear something nice. Okay? In fact, they love to spring things like that on you. You know, hey, by the way, hey, in 10 minutes, you're going to smell Adam's feet. They love that honest reaction. So, and here now is the explanation of the mysterious smudge on the front. And you'll notice it's the right pocket side of the boxers. like any good film and stage technician will do, I carry a pen with me at all times. In fact, I carry both a Sharpie and a ballpoint pen. And occasionally, the pen gets pressed, and, well, it leaks in my pocket. You can't see it on the front of the jeans, but you can see it, you know, it leaks back and leaks onto the boxers.
Oh, my God.
So there, it's a black smudge, grayish black smudge. It's black ink. I assure you, nothing funny is going on.
Okay, fair enough. Grant, you know what? We really, really appreciate your time. And any time that you're out here in Las Vegas, let us know.
Yeah, get a hold of us, man. We would love to hang out, maybe have you in the studio, or at least go have a couple of beers.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, guys. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks, no Grant. Thank we you. Appreciate you on the show.
All right. Thanks, Grant. Okay. Talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Grant Imahara,
MythBuster.
You know what? I'm gonna
BattleBot and author.
Wow.
Well, there you go, guys. That was our interview with Grant Imahara. Just want to thank the guys over at LV Rocks for letting us play around their studio, and MythBustersFanClub.com for allowing us to give you guys this link. Remember, you can always come to spankwagon.net to listen live to our show every Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific time, and you can go there to download our podcast. So thanks for listening. Have a great night.